During Elzman, we had the chance to dip our toes into the world of Taurus HaSveikus in general, to begin to wrap our arms around the concept of how Halacha deals with the Safek, and specifically we focus on two of the tools that the Halacha has for how you deal with the Safek, B'chal Tara Kula. We began to get to know a little bit about Rov, a little bit about Chazaka, we get Chazaka de Meikara, began to identify and recognize the different versions of Rov, specifically Ruv de Isakaman, Ruv de Leisakaman, and Tarovus we touched on. We saw the Gemara in Chulin, Yud Yud Alf Yud Beis about the Makoros for Chazaka de Meikara and Rov, and from the Gemara in Kiddushin Daf Pei on to Gittin Chavches and beyond, beginning to think about how they interact with each other, and gain at for Mikoach the various Mishnais and Maseches Taharas, begin to appreciate Rav Shimon's insight that Rov and Chazaka operate in different ways. Chazaka the Meikar is a Hanhaga, while Rov, as we saw, is often a Birur. If it's a weak enough Rov, it also will be only a Hanhaga. We began to touch on the notion that there are different levels of Rov that Rosh Hashanah develops. We now will be coming back to that further later in the year. There are different numerical levels of Rov, but if it's a numerically strong enough Rov, Machlokas Tatana, and where you draw the line, then Rov is not merely a rule of thumb, a pattern of behavior, a Hanaga, but it's actually a beer. It's actually, we see it as halachically determining fact. There's no longer a Safek, we have a Rov, we're within our halachic margin of error, 80%, 90% chance that these are the facts, we assume those to be the facts. Rov as a beer, with Chazaka de Meikara as a Hanhaga. That sugya is an important yisod, and now we build on that foundation the next step, or the next level of foundation. Because now we begin to zoom in, where Elzman, we were looking at Taurus HaSveikus in general, B'chal Tara Kula, we're going to begin to zoom in into Safek Mammon. Obviously, our Perek, Chesed Zavatim, is one of the major Prakim of Safek Mammon, and we're going to begin from the central klal in Safek Mammon. The central klal in Safek Mammon is Hamotzi Mechavero Al Haraya, which means, what does it mean? The burden of proof rests upon the claimant. Well said, Mr. Hecht. If we're not sure whether the money belongs to Reuven or Shimon, so we have to see who's muchzak on it right now. Who's in possession of the money right now? If right now Reuven is in possession of the money, so we're going to assume that it's Reuven's until Shimon can prove otherwise. The burden of proof, as you said, is on the motzi. The muchzak is going to hold on to until the motzi, one who's trying to take it away from him, can prove otherwise. This klal appears all over Shas. It appears in many different places explicitly. It appears in many more places without being named. And you can learn a lot of Gemara without ever coming across where does it come from. The Gemara often assumes the Hamotzi Mechavero of Haraya. It's taken as a given. But where does it come from? That's a sugya in Bava Kamma Daf Mem Vav. The very beginning of the fifth parak of Maseches Bava Kamma gives an example, applications of Motzi Mechavero of Haraya, an important machlokas amarorim in terms of the scope, how far does Motzi Mechavero of Haraya extend, how strong is it, and how many cases does it apply. And then the Gemara actually says, by the way, the question we've always wondered about, by the way, where does this come from? We keep saying Motzi Mechavero of Haraya all over Shas, where does it come from? Bava Kamma and Vav, Amud Beis, the Gemara actually gives the mucker, and there's a tremendous amount of foot in this Gemara, some of which we're going to have the chance to peel apart. A quick show of hands, how many of you had a chance to see the Gemara Mem Vav Amud Aleph? Okay, so let's start from there. We'll see the sugya in order, even though in the Maamar Kamos he has to see Mem Vav Amud Beis first, and you're going to see why momentarily. the context, now Safek Mammon could be, you can have a Safek Mammon case in any. There are many different reasons why Reuven might owe Shimon money. There's Bava Kamma, there's Bava Tzion, there's Bava Bash. There are all sorts of different scenarios. It could be a sale, it could be a deal, it could be employment, it could be a loan. the context in Bava Kamma, which is the primary context in Bava Kamma, is a tort. There was an accident, there was damage, and now I'm suing you. You need to pay me for the damage that was done to my property. Specifically, the Mishnah talks about a case where my property did damage to your property. So the specific example the Mishnah gives is Shar Shenogach HaSapara. I own an ox, I own a dog, whatever it is. I own an animal that went violent and attacked your animal. Okay, so I'm on the hook to pay for at least some of the damage that my animal did. Without getting into the details, Chatzi Nezek, Nezek Shalem, Karen, those are relevant from a Bava Kamma perspective, not relevant to us right now. But suffice to say, for now, my animal damages your animal, so I'm on the hook for the damage. The question is that the Mishnah raises is, let's say the victim animal had been pregnant. It had been a pregnant cow. That's why shar shenogach hasapara rather than shar shenogach hashar. I have a male shar that attacks your specifically female para, your female cow. V'nimtzu uber betzida. It had been pregnant, and we're not sure. And now it was attacked, and it lost its fetus. So what we're not sure about. I'm on the hook to pay for the damage to the mother. If we can determine that my animal attacked your mother cow, but we're not sure if the cow was still pregnant at the moment of impact. If the cow is still pregnant at the moment of impact, the moment that my animal did damage, so I'm going to be on the hook for paying for both paying towards the damage to the mother and the damage to the fetus. Because if it was still pregnant at the moment of impact, it means that my animal damaged both mother and fetus. But if the facts in fact are that the cow had already lost the fetus before my animal attacked, so then I don't have to pay for the damage to the fetus. Okay, so that's the scenario, that's the case, that's the context that the Mishnah is talking about. Again, shar shenogach hasapara, benimtzu uber betzida. My shar attacked your para, my shar attacked your cow, and when all the damage is done, when the dust settles, we discover that the cow has lost its fetus. Nimtzu uber betzida, you find the uber, the fetus alongside the mother. The ein yodua, but it's not clear, im adshlo negacha yalda, im mishan negacha yalda. It's not clear whether it had already lost the fetus before the damage or not. So, kuli amelo pligi, I'm going to have to pay towards the damage to the mother, but it's not clear whether I'm going to have to pay towards the damage to the fetus. Now, the Mishnah actually says, split the difference. We're arguing over whether I have to pay for the damage to the fetus or not. I have to pay half. Half. Half of what I would otherwise have to pay. So the Gemara says, take a look, we'll start from the opening line, even though in Seder, I asked you just to start further in. Amar Yud, Amar Shmuel, the Gemara begins by saying, talking about Machlokas HaTanam, and then pivots to Machlokas Amaram. Amar Yud, Amar Shmuel, we're going to be focusing on Machlokas Amaram, but we begin with Machlokas HaTanam. Amar Yud, Amar Shmuel, the Amor Shmuel said, wow, the Mishnah said you split the difference. Split the difference? One second. It's not clear whether I owe you money or not. So it's not clear. You claim I owe you $200 towards the lost fetus. And I say, I don't owe you anything. I owe you zero. You say $200 and I say zero. So how much do I owe you? So the Mishnah says $100. So $100? Why? If I owe you, again, you say I owe you the Chatzi Nezek on the fetus is 200, and therefore the amount that you claim, the amount I owe you for the fetus is 200. I claim the amount I owe you for the fetus, zero, because I don't think my shar attacked your feet to the fetus. So my chalik is whether I owe you 200 or zero. So what should the din have been?
Figure it out.
Yeah, the din should have been, who's the muchzuk? You claim I owe you $200. I say, no, I owe you zero. So who's how much money is in contention?
$200.
Who's muchzak that $200 right now? Me, the mazik. You claim that I owe you $200, and I say no. Where's the $200 located right now? In whose pocket? My pocket. My bank account. My wallet. I have $200. You claim I owe it to you. I say no. So I'm muchzak on money, and you claim it's yours. So I'm the muchzak. So Shmuel says, how does the Mishnah say split it? So Shmuel says, opening line, Bava Kamma and Vav Aleph. in the Gemara. I'm reviewing a Shmuel. Zu divrei Simchas. The Mishnah is presenting the opinion of the Tana Simchas. A Tana whose name is perhaps not as familiar to us as it ought to be. He comes up from time to time. He was a Talmud of Rabbi Meir. Simchas was a Talmud of Rabbi Meir, which makes him roughly a contemporary of Yehuda HaNasi from the last generation of Tana. So Shmuel says, yeah, this Mishnah that says Cholkin, that's a position that I have to pay 100, that's a position of Simchas. The Amar Mamar Mutu B'Safek Cholkin. He was of the opinion that if there's a Safek over who owns the money, you divide it. We're not going to focus on Simchas right now. We will, B'li Neder, get back to Simchas, but not, we're not ready for him just yet. Aval Chachamim Omrim, Shmuel says, Simchas holds that Mamar Mutu B'Safek Mamar is Yachloku. But Chachamim say no, Ze Klal Galabadin. Chachamim, the other Tanam said, listen to this major principle in Dine Maminus, Klal Gadol Bedin, Hamotzi Mechaveira Ol Varaya. The Motzi has to prove it. So if in the scenario where it's not clear, any odua, it's not clear whether the attack on the cow happened before or after the cow lost the Uber, and therefore the Nizak, the owner of the cow, says to the Mazi, you owe me 200 towards the Uber, and the Mazik says, the owner of the shar says, I don't owe you anything. Chacham, the Mishnah says, a hunt, pay 100. But the Chacham would say, pay how much?
Zero.
Unless the Niza can prove, you have Edom, you have other evidence, you have security camera footage that shows that Mishnah Gachayolda, okay, then you have to pay the 200. But until you bring that proof, if it's not clear what the facts are, it's not clear whether I owe you 200 or zero, I owe you zero. That's the position of the Chachamim. There is a Shita of Sumchas. The Tana Sumchas disagrees. He says, Yachloku. The Mishnah follows Sumchas. But the Chachamim say, Hamotzi mechavero al harayim. And by the way, Tosfos, the shortest Tosfos on the Amud, Hamotzi, Tosfos says, from the flow of the Gemara that we're about to see, you get the impression that we passing like the Chachamim and not like Sumchas, because the Amoraim are about to dive into the details of Hamotzi Mechaver Alvarai. So at least for now, let's assume that. There is a position out there. There's a Shita and Tanam of Simchas, and Maman Amutu B'Safik Cholkin. We don't pass like that. We will come back to him, but not just yet. For now, we're focused on the dominant Shita and Tanam, Safik Maman, Muchzak wins. Hamotzi Mechaver Alvarai. Now the girl wants to know, why the Chachamim be, what's the Gemara's next Kasha? Okay, there's a two shitas in Tanam, Sumchas and the Chachamim. What's the Gemara's kasha on the Chachamim that's going to drive, a technical kasha that's going to drive important dinim? Clearly applies to the case of Nezek. Okay, that's what we're applying to. Good, okay, yeah.
Isn't it very likely that the Uber, I forgot exactly what's the word that it used, but was damaged? It was damaged by the shore that
okay, that's an interesting question. It's an interesting question which may be implicit in the Gemara. Good. That is there a rove that would tell us? The Gemara didn't raise the question whether there's a rove that tells us whether Mishnah Kol Yalda. What's the Gemara's question? What's the Zekal Galbadin? Why are you being so dramatic? The Gemara says, Lamu Meimer Zekal Galbadin. Tell me, Hamot the Chachamim Omrim Motzi Mechaver Al Varaya. Why the dramatics? Zeh Kol Galbadin. Every din is important. Why is this a particularly central principle in Din Imamidus? The Gemara says, no. That's not mere dramatics. That itself is telling you a din. It's telling you that Hamot Mechaver Al Varaya is not just a call, but a call Gadol tells me the following. It's Drich, the Gemara says, It's necessary for the following. Da afilu nizak omer bari mazik omer shema. Even if the nizak, the one who was damaged, the victim, says bari. Bari means for sure. And the mazik, the damager, who's the muchzuk, says shema. I'm not sure. In other words, the owner of the cow says, I saw the accident. I saw the collision. I saw that my cow was still pregnant when your shor attacked it. I know that you owe me the 200 towards the Uber. And the mazik, the owner of the shor, says, I don't know, I wasn't there. Or I couldn't see. I didn't have a good angle. I don't know. Maybe not. See, he's not. So even a case of Bari Vishama, you have a Muchsuk, you have a Motzi, but maybe I would have thought that, yeah, Hamotzi Mechavei Avaraya, if both claims are of equal strength. But if one guy says, I know you owe me money, and the other guy says, maybe I don't. That's what we call Bari Vishama. The Motzi is a Bari. In this case, the Motzi is a Nizak. The Motzi is a Bari, and the Muchsuk is a Shama. So I would have thought that the motzi, the claimant has a tainus bari. It's not being pushed back against. So maybe the power of a tainus bari should be enough to be motzi mamun from the muchzik. No, so that's why we said it's a klal gal b'din. Not only does the muchzik get to keep his money, the muchzik even gets to keep his money in the face of Bari Vishema. It's the face of a Bari Vishema. Okay. Or the Gemara says, Inami. Or maybe another answer, another nafkamina in the power of the strength, the unusual strength of Motzei Mechavei Avaraya that's communicated through the term Klal Gadol. Either it's a Motzei Mechavei Avaraya can withstand the Bari Vishema, or it can withstand something else. What else? L'chiha de Itmar. It's like a sugim bava basra. There you go. If you have your Bava Basra, you can open up and turn to Tzadi Beis Amud Aleph, or you could just continue to look at Bava Kamma and Vav. Either one works. Now, I mentioned before we got started, Safek Mammon, there are many different reasons why one might be owed money. So in Bava Kamma, the focus is on the potential Mechayiv is Nezek. In Bava Basra, it's going to be a question of a sale, and specifically of a refund. The following machlek is Rav and Shmuel. Hamoch, what's the situation? Hamoch, I sell you an ox, and it turns out that you paid me good money. You paid me good money for this ox, thousands of dollars. You paid me thousands of dollars because you thought you were going to get thousands of dollars of value from the ox. It turns out, forget about value, it's a liability. It's costing you money. Why? Because you're a mocha, because it's nimsa nagchan. I sold you a shar, and it turns out that the shar is a violent shar. And every few days it goes and does damage. It's attacking all the other animals in the neighborhood. So it's become an incredible liability. You thought you were going to get value out of it. Instead, every couple of days you have another bill. You owe $100 to this guy, $200 to that guy. It's constantly doing damage. So the buyer says, I don't want it. I want my money back. What do we call that? Nakachtos. This is not the thing. This is not the item I thought I was buying. This is not the item I thought I was buying. I want my money back. Like, take your shar, keep your shar, and give me the purchase price. I'll go buy a different shar somewhere else. I don't need your shar. So what's the shaila? So Rava Mahareza Mekachtos. Rava says, yeah, it's a Mekachtos. This is not the item you thought you were buying. You know, a Mekachtos can either be where it's mamish not the item. You know, I ordered tomatoes and you delivered potatoes. I mean, I did a kinyan, right? The delivery guy comes with a box from the farmer's market. I took the box into my house. I did a meshicha, I did chatzar, I did a kinyan on the box and all of its contents. But it turns out I ordered tomatoes, I got potatoes. I ordered potatoes, I got tomatoes. That's mamish mekach. So I did a kinyan, but it's not the item that I had ordered. Or it is that item, but it has a mum, the other type of mekach tos. It has a mum. I ordered tomatoes, and Yutaka delivered tomatoes, but it turns out that half the tomatoes are soft and mushy and not crisp. So it's tomatoes with a mum, mekachtos. Either way is a mekachtos. So here, I bought a shar, it is a shar. It's not that it turns out that's really a zebra. It is a shar, but it's a shar with a mum, and a mum that wasn't apparent. I had a broken horn. You saw the broken horn. So if you cared, you wouldn't have taken it. And if the mum is a mum galoy, it's obvious mum. You bought it anyway. You're a makabel the mum. You can't ask for a refund later. But this is a mum that was not galoy. It looked like a normal shar. Only later on, over the couple of days, the mum is in its behavior pattern. So it wasn't self-evident when I bought it. It looked like a normal shar. It wasn't champing at the bit. But over the next couple of days, next couple of weeks, it became clear that this is actually a nagchan. Yeah, question.
Let's say it does damage once a year.
would that be considered like a...
That's an interesting question. You have to figure out how... what would be the shear? I'm not sure. That's an interesting question. Yeah.
Isn't there both the rov and chazaka of this shear not not being a shear mu'ad or not being violent before it was bought? Like if it was already a shear mu'ad, it would have been killed.
Shar muad is killed if it only if it if it's a muad to kill people. It's a homicidal shar.
Okay.
But you have a shar that does damage, that attacks other shavarim or kills other shavarim. Bovicide is not a capital crime for even for shavarim, only homicide. So if it's going around killing or attacking, maiming other shavarim, so it's going to cost you money. We're not going to kill the shar necessarily. But it may be a shar muad. Okay. So whatever it was, so it had an undisclosed. There was an undisclosed mum. Undisclosed mum. So Rav says, open a shark case. Let's see a little more, then we'll take more questions. So Rav says, raise the mekartos. The mekartos. You can get your money back. And Shmuel says, no. Why not? Shmuel amar. Yachosh yomer lo. Shmuel says, no. The seller can respond. Reshchit mecharti v'lach. I sold it to you for as a... There are two reasons why you might buy a shark. It's no longer really the case as much, but once upon a time it was. We still buy, those who buy cattle, still buy cattle for meat. Once upon a time, cattle were also bought as tractors. They were farm animals, work animals. So you might be buying, if you're buying a shor as a work animal, a ridya to do harisha to plow, so that's one sort of use. Or you're buying l'shchita. I'm interested in making a wedding in a couple of weeks. So I, instead of going to the butcher, I went to the source. I went to a cowboy, I bought myself an ox, and then we're going to shecht the ox, and back that's how it worked in the old days. And that'll provide tens of pounds of meat. Shine. Now what's a nafka mina, whether you buy it l'ridya or l'shchita? The world of practice.
If you buy it l'ridya, then it's going to be in a position for which it can gore. If you bought it l'shchita,
exactly.
You're assuming you're going to probably kill it.
Right, if you boil l'shchita, so there's no concern about goring because it does not have much more time to live. So you're going to bring it to the butcher, you bring it to the shaykhid, and we're done. So that's what Shmuel says. Shmuel says, the mocha is going to say, it's not a mum. My understanding was that you were buying it l'shchita. So what does it matter that it's a nagchen? As long as it's strong and healthy and has a lot of meat, you don't care about its behavior, you're going to shecht it. It's not a liability. You decided you want to use it for harisha. That's your problem. My understanding was you were buying it l'shchita. Again, Shmuel Amar, Yachal sheyomer l'shchita mechar tivlach. The seller could say, my understanding was this was you were buying a meat ox, not a work ox, and therefore the fact is Nagchan was an irrelevant detail. So the Gemara says, one second. So we have a suffix, what the telos of the sale was. There's an easy way to tell. The fact that a shor l'ridya lives for years, and a shor l'shchita lives for a couple more days, obviously, and you don't need a PhD in economics to figure out that probably means you pay a lot more for a shor l'ridya than for a shor l'shchita. The Gemara says, well, am I? Why is this an open suffix? Number one, even before I get to the purchase price, who is this person? Who is the purchaser? Is he a farmer? Is he not? If he's not a farmer, clearly he wasn't buying l'ridya. Case in point, nowadays no one buys a shor l'ridya. Who buys a shor l'ridya? You buy a tractor l'ridya if you're a farmer. Back in the old days, people did buy shavarim l'ridya, Aramaic for harisha. But only if you're a farmer. If you're a diamond cutter, you're probably not buying a shor l'ridya. So let's see who the guy is. Or is he making a wedding? Is he planning to have a big flesh exuda? He got for the zavin l'ridya, he got for the zavin l'nechzusa. Is he buying it for harisha? Is he buying it for shchita? So the guy says, well, obviously, let's tricha, but got for the zavin l'hala. You're right. If it's self-evident from the facts of the case, so then there's no shayla. The shayla is where he's both. He is a farmer, and he is playing a fleshik suda. So either one is a reasonable assumption. So then the Gemara says, okay, so then let's look at the purchase price. V'nechzi d'mei ridya l'ridya d'mei nechzisa l'nechzisa. If it's d'mei ridya, if it was a harisha price, it was a higher price. If you were charging the amount you would charge an animal that you're going to use for work for a few years, so then you know there was a ridya. If you're charging the lower price that you would for a meat ox, so then l'nechsasa, then we'll assume there was meant l'shchita. The Gemara says, you're right. If it's determinable, so of course you determine it. If there's a way to figure out what the Metzias is, you should figure out what the Metzias is. So Lo tricha, the ochir bistra v'kai b'dmei ridya. It must be an unusual situation. There was a run on the meat market, and meat has become so rare. Over the last couple of months, all sorts of prices have been off kilter globally because of issues with supply chain. The price of building houses has gone up astronomically in the last couple of months because of problems with supply chain. Lumber has become unusually expensive. So every once in a while, there are flukes for whatever reason. Zigar says, in Achanami, under normal circumstances, there's no machlokas Rav and Shmuel. In normal circumstances, the purchase price is a clear indicator of whether it was being sold l'ridya or l'nechsasa, l'charisha, or l'shchita. Hachamayis, the whole machlokas is an unusual case where there was a bubble, there was a meat bubble, there was a temporary rise spike in the price of meat, and you cannot tell the difference by price between a shor being sold l'ridya and a shor being sold l'charisha. And the Gemara, let's put aside the first couple lines of Mevav Beis. The Gemara has a technical Bavakama discussion. Let's jump into, and then we'll take questions. But first, let's jump into the fourth line of Mem Vav Amid Beis. So, what's the machlokes, Rabbi said? The Gemara tried to knock out the machlokes. How could they even be a suffix? Clearly, there's some sort of a suffix. There's a legitimate suffix whether the shor is being sold to shechita or l'charisha, and the nafkamina is, can I demand a refund? It's nimtza nakhan. If it was sold l'charisha, so then that's a real mum, that's a relevant material mum. I plan to use this on the farm for a couple of years, and if it's a nakhan, that's a significant mum, I'm entitled to a refund. And if I was buying it l'shchita, so then it's the fact that it's a nakhan is an irrelevant fact, and the lokeach cannot force the mocher to refund him the purchase price. Okay, so again, the Gemara says, okay, a case where this is a legitimate suffix, where you cannot tell from the identity of the lokeach what his intention is, and it's talking about a case where there's a fluke in the prices of meat, and you cannot tell from the purchase price. Okay, so good. So the Gemara says, we're talking about hachamai eskin, a case where taki is a suffix in mitzias. Okay. So if there's a suffix, what's the machlokas Amaram? What's the machlokas Rav and Shmuel? And don't forget, by the way, this whole discussion about this Mekach Toz case and machlokas Rav and Shmuel, which we're about to analyze, is meant to ultimately bring us back to what? Bring us back to why did the Chacham use the word gadol? Why is it called gadol? It's a rule. What's so great? What's so unusually strong about the principle of Amotze Mecharev Rai? So let's see the machlokas Rav and Shmuel. So why does Rav say, yes, Mekach Tos, buyer wins, and Shmuel says, no, seller wins? Here we go in the fourth line of Mem, Vav, and Beis. Rav, Amar is a Mekach Tos. Why is it Mekach Tos? Zil Basaruba, follow the Rove. What does the Rove tell me? What Rav say? It is a Mekach Tos. It is a Mekach Tos means we're assuming that it was bought for what purpose? For plowing, right? L'ridya. Why does the rove indicate that it was bought for plowing? Because Rav says, Ruba de Inshi, Laritu de Zavni. Most people, or most purchases of Shavarim are for Charisha. That is a fact that is clearly no longer the case, I assume. I'm sure you can look at the Cowboys Association, the Cattle Association website, and you can double check. But I would imagine that in the 21st century, the vast majority of cattle is, and certainly in America, is sold l'shchita. But once upon a time, that was not the case. Before tractors, at a point in time when in a largely agrarian society, when there were many, many farmers, so the Gemara says, most cattle purchases are for ridya. So Rav says, Rove! Follow a rov. We're not sure. Machlekes. It's a debate between the buyer and seller. What was the intent? So it says follow rov. Rov tells me go to the cattle market and do a survey. You'll discover that 80% of cattle purchases are l'ridya. That's a good point. What does Shmuel say? Does Shmuel disagree with the rov? Machlekes metzias? No. Shmuel agrees with the rov. That's right. Shmuel Amar Yachas Shiyamin Lo Shchita Mechar Tivlach. Shmuel says, no, the seller wins the Din Torah, and the seller can claim it was L'shita, but the rov against him. V'lo az liyam basaruba, you don't follow rov, why not? Ki az liyam basaruba b'yisura, ava b'mamona lo az liyam basaruba. Shmuel says, ein holchin b'mamon achar harov. We do not follow, you cannot win a Din Mamonis case based on a rov. You can figure out whether a piece of meat is kosher or treif based on a rov. You can figure out all sorts of personal status questions based on a rov. In El, we spoke about loads of cases where a rov applies, but Shmuel says, but the buck stops here. Rov does not help you to get the bucks. Rov does not help you to lahotzi mamun yada muchzak. Rov does not work. Ein holcha mamun acharov. Why? Why? Right. Now, how was Rav think? You do follow Rav. Rav says the whole chamamun acharov. That's the machlokas Rav and Shmuel. This detailed case, it tries to talk about where did it fall from and why does it matter? It seems so remote. Ah, I'm buying a cattle and it turns out it's a nakhon, a cross between Bava Basra and Bava Kama and a machlokas. Din Torah, whether I get a refund or not. What's this all about? The answer is, it's a specific case that illustrates an incredibly universal machlokas in Rav and Shmuel. Can you be motzi mamon based on a rov or not? Shmuel says, no, I'm motzi mecher v'al v'raya. Now, how about Rav? Does Rav disagree that I'm motzi mecher v'al v'raya? Oh, he agrees. Everyone agrees I'm motzi mecher v'al v'raya. Shmuel, Rav is not a sumchus man. Anyway, sumchus was a yachloka or something. Maybe. They both agree that both Rav and Shmuel, this is what Tosfos had said, both Rav and Shmuel, both Amoraim and the Gemara, appear to be on board with the Shitas HaChachamim that Hamotzi Mechavei Alvaraya. The Machlokas Amoraim is what?
Where does that apply?
Exactly. What's the scope? How far does this principle go? And what did the Chachamim say, by the way? Both Rav and Shmuel agree that Hamotzi Mechavei Alvaraya. But Shmuel quoted the Chacham as specific, not just saying Hamotzi Mecher El Varaya, but introducing it with the terminology Gadol. Kal Gadol Bedin. Gadol means that Hamotzi Mecher El Varaya is unusually strong. Number one, the Gemara said that the Muchzak wins even the face of a Bari Veshema. The Motzi has a Tainus Bari. The Motzi says, I know you owe me money. And the Muchzak isn't really denying it flatly. He's saying, I don't know. I wasn't there. I don't know if I owe you money or not. Even Bari Veshema is not enough to emotzi min ha-Muchzak, number one. And number two, says Shmuel, even Rov is not enough to emotzi min ha-Muchzak. That's Taka Klal Gadol. The Muchzak's hold, any person's hold on the assets that he has possession over, your shirt, the money in your pocket, and so on and so forth, the Muchzak's hold on his assets is unusually strong. Attack is a klal gadol. The Muchzak will continue to maintain possession even in the face of Bari Veshema. And Shmuel holds, and that's how we paskin like Shmuel, that the Muchzak will continue to maintain possession of his assets even in the face of a rov. Even though rov works in other areas of halacha, rov works in Yisra V'Heter, Roe works in Davish of Erva, Roe works in all sorts of situations. When it comes to Mammon, all of a sudden, Hamotze Mechavel rise a klal gadol, unusually strong. We pass like Shmuel, Ein Holchin B'Mammon Acher Haro. That is the opening sugya in the fifth parak of Bava Kama. Hamotze Mechavel Varai, Machlokas HaTanoim, whether Safik Mammon the din is Yachloku or Hamotze Mechavel Varai, that's number one. We pass Tosfos points that we seem to pass like the Chacham against Simchus. Within Hamotzi Mecher El Varaya, seem to have a sub machlokas Amoraim Is amot mechver varaya a decently strong principle or an exceptionally strong principle? We don't have any explicit machlokas here about Bari Veshama, but we do have machlokas about Rav. Rav said amot mechver varaya, it's a decently strong principle. You have to have a raya, but a Rav is a good enough. And Shmuel says no. Amot mechver varaya is an exceptionally strong principle, even in the face of Bari Veshama, even in the face of Rav. Yeah.
According to Shmuel, why don't we follow the rov from Kal Vachomer from Yisur? If we follow a rov by Yisur, then Kal Vachomer with Mammon.
That is a good question. That's a good. So Sperry is asking, well, why don't I make a Kal Vachomer? Sperry, the truth is really raising an example. Tosas does raise that question in one place. The truth is, you could even Sperry is really raising an example of a larger question, which is the Gemara's very next question. Which is, what's the Gemara's very next question?
Where do we know this?
Yeah, where is that? Where did I come from? Why? Yeah.
Why can't we say that Rav is saying that the proof is Rav?
Good. So Shmuel makes a good point. Yes, absolutely. Rav agrees, and I want to stress that. Rav agrees that Hamotze Mechaber of Araya. The Amoroi and Rav and Shmuel are not disputing whether or not we accept Hamotze Mechaber of Araya. That's why Tosfos pointed out in the Bava Bava, the impression you get from the Sugya is that we pass on the Chacham against Simchas, Hamotze Mechaber of Araya, because both Rav, why is that the impression from the Sugya? Because all the Amoraim are assuming it. They're just discussing the details. We agree on what's Mechaber Araya. The question is, how far do you go? Rav says, yeah, Hamotze Mechaber Araya, but as you said, Rav is Araya. And apparently Shmuel thinks, no, that even Rav is not. Even though Rav, you would have thought it would have been Araya. Right? And it, after all, should it be Araya? And that sort of brings us to Sperry's point. Rav makes, if I asked you, what's your Muskel Rishon? If I asked you, assuming there's a rule, Hamotze Mechaber Araya, would you assume like Rav or like Shmuel? If I would ask you, I'd tell you it's a Machlokes Zamram. Hamotze Mechaber Araya. Okay, let's say I have a Rav. The Motzi claims that the Muktzah owes him $1,000. Muktzah says no. And the Motzi says, I have a Rav. The 90% chances that you owe me $1,000. So what should the din have been? We're not getting into all the details the Gemara has about the Laridia. Let's just ask you in theory. Hamotze Mechaber Araya. I have the Muktzah. Motzi Taki has a Raya. He has a Rav. What would you have thought? Prior was that's a Raya. I mean, after all, we learned the Sug. We started learning the Sug is a Rav. Rav is a Mavar.
Doesn't it depend on the scope of the Rav? Like if it's 41 to 50.
Okay. So maybe I could have said it depends how strong the Rav is. This sounds like this is a pretty strong Rav. A decently strong Rav. It's a Mavar. It's a Raya. Why not? So the truth is, Muskel Rishon, you probably would, a priori, you probably would have said, like Rav. Yeah. Hamotze Mechaber Araya. There is a Raya. The Raya is Rav. Rav is a Raya. So Shmuel is a little intriguing. Well, he says, okay, but the Tanam told me that Zeh Kal Gadol B'Din is the Kal Gadol. Okay, but still, obviously, right. So Shmuel says, well, what the Tanoim meant when the Chachamim used that language of Kal Gadol B'Din, they were driving at this. They were driving at Raya and Bar Veshema doesn't count. Okay, Raya and Rov doesn't count. Now, but as so Shmuel pointed out, but Tzarech Abir. Okay, so the Gemara says this is a din. Gar gave me the data, but what's Takip Shat? Okay, I'm looking at Raya, and Rav is a Raya. What's Takip Shat? Which brings us back to what Sperry had said. Where does this come from? So the truth is, that's what the Gemara seems to ask. But in learning the next piece of the Gemara, as we're gonna have to see the next piece of the Gemara that will ultimately bring us back to trying to figure out what you're raising, Shmuel, will bring us to Re Lunel and a Truman Sadeshan. So maybe we should call you Yisrael or Yonason for today, because you were mechavan to the guys. Think about those Rishonim. But first, it brings us to the next line of the Gemara. The very next line is wrapping up what Shmuel said. Tainami Hachi, the Gemara says, we have a Brisa that indicates like this, like the Amoraim said. So the Sumcha says you pay half of what you would have to pay towards the Vlad. The Chachamim say no. Okay, So that braisa indicates Shmuel had said before, the Amorah Shmuel had said that our Mishnah is only Simchas, and now you have a braisa that says Beferish, in the case of the Mishnah is the Machlokus, in the Simchas, the Chachamim, whether you say Yachloku or you say Hamot Simcha Re'avarai. Okay, and now the Gemara says, Taka, where does this come from? Sperry's question. Amr Shmuel Nachmeni. So where does this come from? Where does this come from? As we learn this Gemara, there's something awry in the Shaka V'Tarya. There are a few things that might bother you about the Shaka V'Tarya. How do you know that? What's the Gemara's first answer? What's the Makar? A Pasuk. Yeah, what's the Pasuk? From Parshas Yisro. Mi bal dvar migash aleihem. Whoever is a Baal Dvar, whoever has what to say, a man of words, you have a taina to make. Yigash aleihem, you should come to the leadership. Moshe Rabbeinu is going up to Har Sinai to Bukabla Torah. He says, I'm leaving you in the charge of other leaders, Aaron and Hur and so forth. Mi Baal Dvar, Yigash aleihem, you have a taina, come to them, you have what to say. So approach the Beis Din. So what does this mean? Yagish Raya aleihem. If you have something to say, you need to come say something. You bring your dvar. You bring your raya. Interesting. So Gemara says, that's the fact that the Torah chose to phrase it, yigash aleihem, is an interesting way to put it. So that has the added implication of presenting. Lahagish is to present. Yigash means you come forward, but yagish means you will bring forward. So you have to present your case. Okay, so that's the mocker for what? Why does the Gemara not like that mocker? What's wrong with that pasuk? Is it not a good enough pasuk? No, right. It's a superfluous pasuk. It's redundant. Kiva says it's a tzvara. Maskev lo Rashi. Rashi asks the logical question. It's a perfectly good Rashi. It's just unnecessary. Halama likras tzvara. Who needs a pasuk? Is dachas tzvara. Dekav. What's the tzvara? Dekav le keeva azal beasya. Someone who has pain goes to the doctor. If you have a problem, then you go to the doctor. What's Rav Ashi saying? If you say that I owe you money, so you're the one with a headache. You're the one who claims there's a problem. I say there's no problem. I say I don't owe you any money. Everything's good. You're the one who's claiming things has to be changed. So if you're the one who demands change, if you're the one who thinks the situation needs healing, you're the one who has to have to seek out the cure. The motzi, of course the motzi has to be the one to prove that he's owed money. The machzik doesn't have to prove. Davar pashut. I don't go to the doctor because you have headache. If you have headache, you go to the doctor. The famous story with Ari Levine, the great Tzadik Yerushalayim, is they showed up to the doctor, husband and wife, he shows up with his rabbitson, and he says that his wife had some problem with her foot. They show up to the doctor, the podiatrist. I'm not sure they had podiatrists in pre-war Yerushalayim. But whatever it was, they show up to the medical professional, and because Rebbetzin Levine's foot hurt her, and Aryeh Levine supposedly said to the doctor, our foot hurts us. Azatzai, imamish imonochi b'tzara. Our foot hurts us. Okay. So Aryeh Levine was the usual tzaddik. But normally, I don't go to the doctor because you have a headache. And the famous line, right? Why am I putting on a sweater because you're cold? Right? Unless maybe you're being cold or either really I'm cold too. Right? But my putting on a sweater is not going to make you warm. So that's what the Gemara says. The kav lekeva azlabas. If you have a headache, it's not going to help for me to go to the doctor. You go to the doctor. If you think I owe you money, you go to Beis Din. You prove it to them, and then they'll make me pay. I don't have to prove that I don't owe the money. You have to prove that I do owe you the money. You have to prove that there is a problem that needs curing. So the Gemara says, it's a svara pshut, it's a svara. The Gemara says, I don't need a palomali krasoru. What do you need a pasuk for? Now I have a free, superfluous pasuk, yigash aleihem. What's that supposed to prove? The Gemara says, yigash aleihem is for what? Some other din. You're right. Motzei Rav Arayah really is a svara pshuta. So what's the pasuk for? Now the extra pasuk. That pasuk is for a technical detail in terms of judicial procedure. Procedure in a Beis Din. Who goes first, who goes second? Nizkakin l'tovei atchila. The pasuk is telling me about a detail that the way Rashi understands it, The different Rishonim, different ways. I'm just saying, Rashi understands, if I sue you in Beis Din for $10,000, say, Mordechai, you owe me $10,000, I lent you money, you owe me $10,000. So sometimes people say yes, sometimes people say no, and sometimes people are really aggressive, and they say, well, you owe me $20,000 because of some car accident from 3 months ago. A countersuit. So Rashi says, that's his din, if I come to Beis and I say, Mordechai owes me money, owes me 10,000. Mordechai comes and says, well, but he owes, Cohen owes me 20,000. Beis Din is going to say, first come, first serve. Cohen made the first case. First, they're not going to mish everything together. First, they'll adjudicate the my claim about the loan. And then afterwards, they'll adjudicate your claim about a car accident. Other Rishonim have other understandings of Beis Din and Nizkak L'Tavei Etchila. Again, Nizkak L'Tavei Etchila is a detail about how Beis Din organizes themselves. It's a detail about judicial procedure. And the Gemara says, we don't need the pasuk to teach me. Amotzemecheh v'raya is a davar pasha, it's a svara. So the pasuk instead teaches me this other din of nizkakim l'toveya tchilo. Yes. Yeah.
Is the
svara
connected to the
chazaka de meikara? Ooh.
Or is it a separate
svara? Yitzchak is asking a great question. Yitzchak is wondering about the svara. Yitzchak is wondering whether muchzuk is related to chazaka de meikara. We had started discussing before Yom Tov that the word chazaka it can be used independently. At least six different senses. Probably they're not the same, but we're going to have to come back to it. But before we wrap up, the end of the Gemara first seems very simple. Two things should bother you severely. Two things should bother you severely. One is internal, one is external. The external one that we'll get to tomorrow is that there's a Rashi in Gittin who seems to ignore the maskana of the Gemara. There's a Rashi in Gittin who says, oh, Hamotzeh Mecherev Ra, yeah, it comes from a Pasuk. And Achrob said, that was the Gemara's Havamina, that's the maskana. That's the external Kasha. The internal Kasha is the Mesorah Sashah tells you, oh, look at the Tosfos and Shavuos. What Tosfos and Shavuos says is the Gemara doesn't always say, Lama Li Kras Ra. Here the Gemara assumes that there's no point in having both a Pasuk and a Svara. If you have a svar, the pasuk is redundant, it must be used for something else. Tosfos thinks, wherever this nutzuch comes up, the Mesorah Sashah always sends you to that Tosfos and Shavuos, who asks, oh, but in other cases, usually the Gemara says, Ibai say makra, Ibai say masara. Usually the Gemara will be comfortable with, you can have both a pasuk and a svar. Every once in a while we say, no, lamali kara svara. So what's the difference? What does Tosfos say? When do we assume that's redundant to have a pasuk? Ah, right. So it depends how strong the svara is. Usually, I have a svara, but you know there's a way to push back. So it's great to have a svara, but it's valuable to have the pasuk as well. Ibai say makrai, ibai say masvara. Every once in a long while, probably only three times in Shas, the svara is so incontrovertible, so powerful. There's no way to argue with the svara. It's so obvious and self-evident. Lovely cross svara. So. Now, that Tosfos gives us a tool to assess the strength of the relative strength of the svara. What does that Tosfos and Shmuel tell us about the svara for Hamotzeh Mecherev Raya? Is it good or amazing? Amazing! Lamli kara svara, right? Anything bother you about that? Based on the Gemara right here?
Why can't we just use a kara also in this case?
What was it? We said it's such an overwhelmingly strong svara. Everyone agrees to the svara. Everyone agrees to what svara? Everyone agrees to the svara. Didn't we just say it's a machlokas amara? Didn't we say it's a machlokas atanaya? It's such an incontrovertible svara. Lomeli kar svara, but it's a machlokas. Well, not everyone even agrees it's true in maskana, let alone that it's so obvious I don't even need a pasuk. Something is very awry in this simple seeming Gemara that's first had a pasuk and they said we don't need the pasuk. Hamotzeh Mecherev Raya is a svara coming on the heels of bitter machlokas about what are the rules of Hamotzeh Mecherev Raya. Something's going on. We're going to have to work on this part.